Sarai Bante, we have 7 questions today. Question number one is on mindful sitting. Dear Bante, during the guided sitting session, I find the verbal guidance for the body scan quite useful. It helps to gather the mind, calm down, and establish mindfulness. During the body scan, I sometimes verbalize internally and check the area of the body, and visual image comes to mind as well. Sometimes I observe without internal verbalization and visualization, and I can feel the respective part or area. This is a bit vague and not a detailed observation. I feel the mind does not want to put attention and examine closely. Appreciate Bante's guidance on which technique to be promoted and practice. Thank you and much merit for your valuable service with Metta. That's the end of the question.
I think actually I can't give a definite answer. It depends on how your practice is progressing. So at the beginning, we can't see much detail. So in such situation, we want to see more detail. So basically, so looking at details, knowing details is part of the practice. What we call as the clear comprehension. So the mere mindfulness is not enough. Now you are adding clear comprehension into the picture so that all the subtle details, aspects are known to us. So that introduces certain amount of wisdom into the picture. Now you are having sort of a penetrative wisdom. You are quite vigilant, careful, investigating. So as a result of that, you are able to recognize more detail. So that is one way, one stage. But the interesting thing is, as you are continuing, so more you understand their true nature, how quickly they are coming and going, how quickly they are rising and passing away, and things are not governable. So you recognize these universal characteristics. So as a result of that, now these things become kind of a flux. So you can't distinctly know details anymore. So it doesn't appear like beautiful. It doesn't appear like all the distinct characteristics are available to you. Now you can't see details. On such situation, actually, you don't need to struggle to see details. Rather, you need to understand, okay, I went through kind of a practice, kind of a progressive stages. Previously, I was able to look at all the details. I was successful in it. But later, things have become somewhat discolored or mixed up, and now I can't recognize them individually, and I also go through a kind of a dispassionate attitude towards the everything. I have a certain amount of disenchantment, nibbida. I have changed a little bit through my own way of looking at things. So if you are able to recognize yourself like that, then no need of struggle to recognize all these details, because it's a kind of a continuity in your practice. That you are going to another stage of your vipassana, where the mind is not interested of looking at the details. So therefore, you need to understand where you are. So if you are a beginner, simply want to promote a further vipassana, then of course you need to thoroughly look at details and try to understand more and more information that is needed. But if you are practicing for many years and you know that you have gone through all these different stages, then you don't need to struggle to recognize details. Back to you, Chamila.
Question number 2 of 7. This is just the one question. Dear Bante, what can I do to bring back mind to body? That's the end of the question.
Yeah, that's, I mean, basically now you know that when you want to sit, say you are sitting in a comfortable chair. You are not sitting on a, you know, bench or in a difficult place. Rather, you are selecting a comfortable chair to sit. Similarly, how inviting mind to sit on the body, associate the body. That is where the Kayanupassana is available. So for that, actually, more and more you have to associate the body. So when you are more and more associating the body, slowly, slowly, mind recognize it as a comfortable dwelling. Like you sitting on a very comfortable chair, now mind come and associate the body. It recognize body as a comfortable place to stay. That's the purpose of the Kayanupassana that is highlighted in the Kayagata Sati Sutta. Ajjattameva chittang santittati sannisidati ekodihoti samadhiyati. So Buddha mentioned now, rather than going to various external objects, mind simply rests within. Mind simply associates the body. Mind simply be with the body. So you are in a way developing certain amount of body awareness, and that will lead towards further to understand emotions and ultimately to develop self-awareness. But the beginning part is very much the body awareness. Say the mindfulness practices, various mindfulness practices, say walking meditation, sitting meditation, all these different techniques that we have discussed in previous sessions about are for this purpose.
Question number 3 of 8. This is a Dhammasamana question. Dear Bhante, can there be meritorious papancha as well? Example, I think I am in the Dhamma path and a good yogi. I think about doing a continuous retreat with good sila for months and keep on thinking about the good qualities of that renounced life with metta. That's the end of the question.
Yes, of course. So basically, this papancha can have many, say, wholesome type of thinking as well. So that's why when it comes to Chittanupassana, we are not promoting even the wholesome thoughts. Say, Vitaragan Chittan, merely Vitaragan Chittan, that's it. Vita Dosan Chittan, merely Vita Dosan Chittan, that's it. We are not promoting metta there. Say, you get a, what we call a metta. So you got a loving kindness thought. But at that level, you are not promoting loving kindness. Rather, you recognize, this is the loving kindness thought. That's it. And once you recognize it, it simply passed away. Again, mind calms down. Again, mind comes to the resting state. So very much like now you are playing at a different level. So promoting thinking is not the path. Rather, calming down. Recognizing a kind of a state of mindfulness, wakefulness. A kind of an awareness. In that awareness field, okay, thoughts are popping up. So those thoughts can be either positive or negative. That means wholesome or unwholesome. But they have the nature to come and go. So we can't depend on those thoughts. So thoughts are not the path. So the path is not that we are trying to think all the good thoughts. Rather, the path is we understand all these thoughts are mere mental formations. They have the nature to come and go. We can't depend on them. How about having a kind of a relaxed mind, unattached mind, detached mind, non-grasping state of mind, understanding mind, a kind of penetrating mind. So this is something that we have to look forward. So as you correctly mentioned, so one can even think very many, say, beautiful, good and wholesome things. And you can refer actually the Dhavitakka Sutta, how Buddha categorized. So basically good thoughts and the bad thoughts. Immediately he understood, okay, good thoughts are okay to some extent, they are all right, but bad thoughts I better avoid. So he did a kind of a categorization and he understood the consequences of the bad thoughts. So as a result of that, now he is able to think only the good thoughts. He was able to think only the wholesome thoughts. Now later he mentioned thinking even the good thoughts is a burden. So you feel tired by thinking. How about calming down without vitakka and vichara? How about having a very relaxed, calm, resting mind, but fully awake? Don't think that you are in sleeping. Rather, you are fully awake, but not necessary to think right now, because there is nothing to think. But it doesn't mean that we hate thinking or we prohibit thinking. If you want to think, you have the capacity to think. At the same time, if you don't want to think, you have to have the capacity to keep the mind silent. So that is the theme of the Vitakka Santana Sutta, where you are very much like in control of thinking. Like you have a certain amount of control of your eyes. If you want to see someone, you can see. If you don't want to see, then you can close your eyes. Likewise, if you want to think, you can think. If you don't want to think, you can stop thinking. Something like that.
Question number 4 of 8. It's a general question. Dear Bhante, much merits for your excellent explanations on the reading of Concept and Reality book. My question is regarding something I have heard before I joined the program. It was around explaining the same topics of concept and reality using instantaneous rising and falling. This philosophy, as I recall, is called Shanaveda in Theravada schools. Hope Bhante can give some insights about this. With metta, that's the end of the question.
Called Shanaveda, can you repeat that term, Chamila?
Shanaveda.
Shanaveda.
Instantaneous rising and falling.
I don't know what you are referring here. So basically in the Vipassana, we are talking about the Kanamattitika Samadhi. So that means momentary concentration. So what you need is quickly your mind is capable of recognizing different phenomena. Distinctly you are able to recognize different phenomena. To that level, mind is concentrated onto that particular phenomena. So you have that Samadhi, the instantaneous Samadhi. So what we are talking here has a fair relationship with that. So whatever the thoughts are arising, you quickly are able to recognize so those thoughts. And we are not promoting thinking as we just discussed. And we are not promoting a very deep samadhi either. Rather, we are able to recognize whatever the thoughts coming and going. The clarity of the mind is remaining.
Question number, I hope that answered. If not, the person who put the question in, maybe they can put in a new question.
Yeah.
Question number five of eight. It's a Dhammasavan question. Dear Bhante, regarding today's passage, should we take guard of prapancha sanna sankara samudhe charanti? The whole end-to-end resultant or prapancha itself at the start to deal with anusaya, with metta. That's the end of the question.
That question also is not much clear to me, but the way that I gathered it is very much like that you are asking, is it a methodology to overcome anusaya? So if this is your question, yes, definitely. So to overcome anusaya, definitely we have to overcome prapancha. Because the prapancha is one strong cause to promote anusaya. Suppose there is a lustful thought arising, and if I am continuously thinking on that, promoting that way of thinking, definitely the anusaya is going to be stronger. The raga anusaya, the lustful prolific tendency, going to be stronger. But instead of doing that way, if I am able to overcome that, if I am simply not getting delighted, not welcoming it, not getting adhered to it, simply letting it go. So that means I am rewinding. That means I am abandoning. I am weakening the latent tendency. So in this particular passage, so it is very, very important that Buddha's short discourse there to the monks. So if one is not delighting, not asserting or not welcoming and not adhering, then that is the path to end all the anusayas. Yeah, back to you.
Yeah. Question number 6 of 8. That's again another Dhamma sermon. What is the reason or cause why one clings to the 5 or 6 senses that lead to mental proliferation? And why we can't just see or hear, etc., and simply let go, as in the Bhatiya Sutta. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's the end of the question.
Actually, the Bhatiya Sutta is another stage. Actually, now we are looking at the mechanism, how our mind is operating, how we simply being carried away by the thinking and ultimately end up with too much thinking, obsessive thinking, conceptual preparation. So we are very much like trying to understand the whole mechanism, the whole trap we are in. But the path, now we have to develop. We have to develop samatha and vipassana. So once we have developed a fair amount of vipassana, you may reach the bahya's level. Now there are sights, but your mind is not interested of thinking about it. There are sounds, but your mind is not interested of getting trapped in it or entangled in it. There are smells, tastes, tangibles, but mind is not interested of getting involved with them. And there are thoughts also coming and going, but mind wants to remain calm. So this is the bahya state. So, but you can't immediately come to that. Simple, say, logical understanding is not enough. You can try doing that, but you can't. Mostly that you will fail. Because our minds are tense to think too much. We get carried away by things. And all these different sense objects are stimulating the mind and promotes thinking. So that's why we need a certain amount of training. That's why we need a certain amount of mindfulness practice, vipassana practice, to take our mind to that level, to the bahya's level.
Bante, we've almost come up to time. There are two more questions. Is it okay?
Yeah, we can go ahead. No problem. Yeah.
Okay. Question number 7 of 8. It's again on the Dhamma sermon. Dear Bante, how can we connect our usual sila restraint with the mind-based sanvara restraints explained in today's Dhamma talk with metta? That's the end of the question.
Actually, sila-based sanvara and the mind-based sanvara are fairly connected as far as I can see. The sila-based sanvara, anyway, we are talking in from mundane terms that we are kaya sanvara and vachi sanvara. There's a bodily restraint and the verbal restraint. But it leads to mind sanvara, that you are going to restrain the mind as well. But you can't do that without having fair amount of bodily restraint and the verbal restraint. So that's why we are using the typical sila as a foundation. Sile patithaya naro sapanyo, chittang panyancha bhavaya. So that means, so you are keeping typical sila, typical morality, body and the words morality as a kind of a foundation. On top of that, now you develop samatha and vipassana. The concentration practices and the vipassana practices. So that leads to have the mental restraint. Anyway, all three are necessary. Kaina sangvaro sadhu, sadhu vachaya sangvaro, manasa sangvaro sadhu, sadhu sabbata sangvaro. So Buddha mentioned in the Dhammapada, so you have to have sangvara, you have to have restraint, not only but the body, not only the words, even the mind. All three have to be restrained. You are muted, Shamila. Right.
Question number 8 of 8, this is again of Dhamma Sermon. Dear Bante, during the Dhamma Sermon, you said after mastering vipassana, one can become in a no thought status. What is the meaning of no thoughts with metta? That's the end of the question.
That you need to recognize. So no thoughts mean no thoughts. So basically our mind have the capacity not to think. So typically we think, okay, our mind have to think. Definitely if there is a mind, if you are alive, so I have to have some sort of thinking. So if you are not thinking, you are dead. So that is the typical understanding. But the teaching, the vipassana practice, taking you to a level that you have full awareness, but there are no thoughts. Complete absence of thoughts are there. Complete, say, inner silence is there, but you are fully living. So that's the beauty of the Dhamma. So that's what I am trying to inviting you. So there's a very interesting area available in our human nature. So we have the kind of a prejudice. So I should have some kind of a thought. Without a thought, I can't live. Maybe that is the prejudice you have. But there is an interesting possibility in the mind, a certain potential in the mind. Without thoughts, it is simply having inner silence. It's a very beautiful inner silence. You can enjoy that inner silence. So that is the area that we have to explore. And kaya anupassana, chitta anupassana, dhamma anupassana, all these actually taking us to that beautiful silence. And it is not that we need to adhere to that and have a kind of a you know that we are not getting involved with anyone, so I want to maintain this silence. It is not the case. Rather, you can enjoy that silence. You can dwell in that silence. And it is not merely that you are trying to suppress thoughts. Rather, you understand, you go through a systematic training, and that training, as a result of that training, slowly, slowly, you understand how you promote thinking, how you are sort of ignorantly participate in thinking, how you are in internally constructing various unnecessary things. You do all these fabrications, and you recognize all these fabrications, how these internal fabrications are going on, unnecessary fabrications are going on. And later you understand, okay, it's a useless thing. No point of doing it. I don't need to go through all these fabrications. That sankhara dukkha. Sankhara dukkha is utterly not necessary. By going through vipassana, you can minimize sankhara dukkha. The suffering happens because of the sanskarana. You know, the fabrications. So that fabricated related suffering you can minimize. So that is where you come up with the silence. There are no fabrications. So I invite you to investigate that capacity in your mind.
So that was the last question, written question for today. So we've gone over time and we will end the program now. So to end the program, I would first like to pass our merits and thanks to Bhante for his valuable time, even with the busy schedule at the monastery, to all the supporters of this program, both seen and unseen, and to the participants for joining today to practice and share their questions. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah, everyone's sadhu. Yeah, everyone's sadhu.